Ladies and gentlemen, let's get right down to it. It's the Conference USA Report podcast. And it's not a good week, is it? You look at the top of the standings, right? You're excited if you're an FIU fan. You're getting closer to the end, and you know what you have to do. You beat Marshall, you seal it up, right? Forget what Middle Tennessee does or doesn't do against UAB. You beat Marshall, you win this thing. And it's all wrapped up and it's all good. That's what you got to do. You took care of business against a game Charlotte, you know, 42-35. It's not really what you're thinking is going to happen when it comes down to it. But, I mean, you know, like Hassan Clu, you know, completed a touchdown pass late. I mean, you did allow 28 points to him, but Charlotte had a pretty solid defense this season. And, you know, you scored 42 points against him. Napoleon Maxwell was balling. What did he have? 102 rush yards, right? One was like a 50. He had 2 50-yard gains, right? It's basically what he is, what he had in the day. James Morgan was solid again, 268 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. I made this point on Twitter. I think you can probably say, hey, James Morgan, give him the Conference USA Player of the Year award, right, over Mason Fine. You could definitely say, make a good argument that James Morgan has had the better season than Mason Fine. And even though Mason Fine has a name, right, he came in with the hype, the interviews, the talk, and deservedly so. But James Morgan has 65% completion. He leads the conference in QB rating. It's like 171. Mason Fine's like at 149. He doesn't have the yards that Mason Fine does, with 2,600 yards for Morgan, but 26 touchdowns, 5 interceptions on 27 passes a game, right? That is solid. He's completing 65%. Fine has like 3,400 yards passing, great. 25 or so touchdowns, great. You know, 4 interceptions. You know, they're about equal there. His rating's a little bit less than Morgan, and he's throwing the ball 39 times a game, right? So, you know, he has a little bit more yards per game, yeah, because he's throwing the ball all the time. James Morgan has the old school kind of, well, is he a leader? Is he winning for him? Yeah, he's led a couple comeback wins, right? The huge drive against Middle Tennessee. That goes on his resume, yeah, even though, you know, like there's not a whole lot here. They lost to Indiana, lost to Florida, lost a huge one, you know, to FAU. But he has that, and he's going to lead his team, if they can beat Marshall, to a conference championship game berth. And that means something, I think. So there you go. And I saw a few people were like, who's James Morgan? Right? Who's James Morgan? Well, that's who James Morgan is. I think we all should be prepared for a time when James Morgan is getting, you know, recognition. So there you go. He's doing good. Let's talk about the rest of this week. It's a little sad if you're a Conference USA fan, because UAB lost and they got throttled by Texas A&M. And I think we all kind of hoped, at least a little bit, that UAB would impress, so that way we can feel good about the rest of the league. Because UAB has dominated the rest of this conference, right? 7-0 in the league, 9-2 overall. The only losses now against are A&M and Coastal Carolina. Just so strange. They got handled in both of them. Just ridiculous. But beat Tech on the road, beat North Texas at home. Just kind of dominating everybody. And the defense has been playing really well. You saw the defense get some good penetration on Mond there for Texas A&M, but overall, not the greatest game, and a lot of turnovers there. I know UAB and Bill Clark try to throw out a little surprise at quarterback, I guess. Tyler Johnson the third throws it all on interceptions. 306 yards passing, great, okay, but 2 touchdowns. But he threw 2 picks. One of them was real bad, just kind of forcing the ball. I know they like what he brings to the table. This one was kind of over before it began. You know, just kind of a poor performance overall. After the touchdown to make it 7-7, A&M never really looked challenged in their second quarter scores, right? And the offense just wasn't there. And it was like 34-7 before UAB started to get into it. And, you know, they got a couple late touchdowns. Didn't really mean too much. Not the greatest performance for UAB and therefore Conference USA. The conference champion, likely conference champion, goes out in their last non-conference game looking pretty poor. But whatever, that we kind of knew this league was going to be something similar like that. The rest of the scores, well, let's not forget about Thursday night. What we thought was going to be a preview, perhaps, at least maybe contain one of the contenders for the conference title game this season, UNT and FAU, was just a rematch of last season and a little game to remind us how the mighty had fallen, right? North Texas won, and a good game. I think it was like 1,000 yards of offense or some long touchdowns traded. It was like a 92-yard run by DeAndre Torrey from North Texas, followed by a 55-yard touchdown pass from Robeson to Durant. Overall, a good game. North Texas did that thing where they went up early, got up 17-0, got a 17-0 lead, and then blew it. led at that point in the first quarter. FAU ended up taking the lead at halftime, 21-20. Here's the thing. Robeson, 294 yards passing, two touchdowns, great. 21-35, not so great. Probably want to clean that up just a little bit, but good plays overall from him. Not the two interceptions, though. Threw an interception to Nate Brooks, threw an interception that lost it to Kyrie Muhammad. And yes, North Texas intercepts a lot of passes, but those kinds of plays have been FAU's, Achilles heel all season. You can see how good they could have been, right? And just didn't do it. Devin Singletary had a good game. He showed flashes, but North Texas did a great job of exercising the demons, I guess, because 1,436 yards in two games for FAU versus North Texas last season. I think the total score was like 110 to like 47, right? That was a combined score in the two games, the October game and then a conference title game. So a little bit of a revenge. I think North Texas is looking forward to this one for a long time, even though it didn't really mean a whole lot. They jumped out early. Mason Fine got injured. Scary moment. It looked like he, broke his wrist or something like that. It turns out he just slashed it, which I guess is not the greatest step down. It's not the biggest step down there. But backup quarterback Quinn Chambord ran for two. And if you know anything about North Texas, you know that Quinn Chambord doesn't throw a whole lot of passes. He only runs. So it was a bit surprising to see FAU, who's usually well prepared, not be ready for that. And he ran for two. Mason Fine stepped in. He didn't really do a whole lot in his return, but he looks to be healthy again. As they faced, UTSA in the final game of the season. UTSA, speaking of, they're just on a run of horridness. Isaiah Green threw for 387. But Marshall really should have beat this team by a lot more. The final score is 23-0. And I think there were a lot of points left on the table there. But the defense really just played outstandingly well. Marshall's defense has been good all season. And, you have one of the league's better defenses going against the league's worst offense. UTSA has just, they've been averaging something like 2 or 3 yards per carry. I think in this one they had negative yards rushing, which is an awful performance. I don't know. Was it? Yeah, negative 26 yard rushing. Negative 1.2 yards per rush. I think I read somewhere that the UTSA Roadrunners didn't cross midfield but for three plays, or ran only three plays on the other side of the field. Just an awful performance by UTSA in a season of awful performances. Bryce Rivers threw 158 yards on 16 of 31 passing and an interception. He stepped in. He was the only one. He was the reason that UTSA scored a touchdown against FIU last week, and that was it. Otherwise, that would have been 45-0. This is 23-0, and then you only scored the three against UAB a couple of weeks prior, right? So, what am I looking at this score right now? Here's the thing. After you beat Rice 20-3 in a game that was largely your defense scoring for you, right? 31-3 losers against Louisiana Tech, 27-17 losers against Southern Miss, and one of those was a pick six. Only the 3 points against UAB. Understandable, UAB is very good defensively, right? 45-7 FIU. Again, good team, right? Possible conference title game contender. Marshall, 23-0. just very bad performances. I don't know if you have if UTEP and Rice were not on the schedule, and even at that point in time, we're not on the schedule at that point in time. I don't know that UTSA has a winning conference right now, because I think maybe if you play that game against Rice in the beginning of the season, or you play that UTEP game now, those are losses. I think those teams are just playing better at those different points and times than UTSA is right now. And then Texas State, who's going to fire the coach? So you get two wins against teams with new coaches, and Texas State, who is going to fire the coach. And then coming up, you have one of the league's best offenses, definitely one of the league's best quarterbacks. A team that's averaging almost 40 per game, and you who are not getting anything per game. This is a terrible situation for UTSA, and it's a clash. Last season, they played an epic game. This season, I mean, UTSA in North Texas, right? That was a game. Mason Fine drives 98 yards in seven plays with, it was 98 seconds. It was a minute seven, sorry. Minute seven, 98 yards, wins the game. No timeouts. That epic game, and now just completely divergent paths, right? North Texas, head coach Seth Luttrell is being whispered about in various coaching vacancies, and we can talk about that a little bit in a second. And then, you know, all the rumors about coaching things. It looks like Mike Sanford saved his job. Let's talk about that. His job is to win two games in the final two, right? One was relatively easy. One a lot more difficult. Western Kentucky played UTEP, or were scheduled to play UTEP and Louisiana Tech for the final two games of the season. They blow out UTEP 40-16. 1-10 UTEP, 40-16. And this is the game, if you ask me, and I think we mentioned it last week on the podcast, when we had Brad Stevens on, the question was, okay, if the thing is you got to win two, you got to go 2-0 in these final two and you keep your job for another year. But if you lose two, you're out. I had to think that it was, if you play awful against UTEP, then you're fired. I think that really was it. Because there were questions about the split. Like, what happens if you go 1-1? I think losing to UTEP is just so bad that would be fireable. You know, that would be the final straw. So a 40-6 win does good. You feel good. Duncan had an okay game. The run game was resurgent. You know, UTEP still struggling. Couldn't run the ball. Could throw the ball, though. They're still trying to figure things out. Western Kentucky jumped out to a big lead, 27-0, before, you know, UTEP kind of put some points on the board late that didn't really matter. Western Kentucky really playing for the coach, looks like. Good stuff from them. Speaking of Rice, we should mention this because we're going to forget about it. LSU just took care of them, 42-10. Nothing really big in this game to learn about either team, just handling their business. Stankavage, 101 yards passing. Was it Aston Walter, 72 yards rushing. Nothing learned, nothing gained in this one. 200 yards total for Rice. Well, it was 198 to be exact. And 552 for LSU. Just dominating that one. Not really breaking a sweat. Speaking of game, team didn't really break a sweat. Old Dominion, 77-14 winners. We talked about this last week. Figured this is going to be the case. Blake LaRusso threw two scores, 15-20 passing. They got some other guys in there. They got Fitzgerald. They got Arnold in there throwing some passes around. Old Dominion had 509 yards of offense. VMI, 288, but, you know, that some of that came late. 339 yards rushing, which I figured was going to be the case, right? Jeremy Cox had 98 yards. Geiger had 91 yards. Strong had 62. You know, didn't really have to try. Very difficult game. Wasn't a difficult game, I mean. 77-14 winners. Nothing really to learn or say about this one. Old Dominion was always likely to win that one. VMI is very terrible. They're 1-10 on the season. Overmatched. It's over. The other game that was a little disappointing, Middle Tennessee and Kentucky. Not disappointing that we thought they were going to win, just that it was scheduled. We Middle Tennessee is not that good this season, and Kentucky is ranked 17 coming into this one. Middle Tennessee put up a little fight late. I think where they score 13 in the second half, but it was, 24-7, 24-10 or something like that at halftime? 24-10. I'm looking at it right now. 24-10 at halftime. And, you know, you thought, okay, we're sort of in it. Then Kentucky comes out, scores a touchdown right away. It's 31-10. And then a mini comeback, getting it to 31-23 early in the fourth, before, you know, Kentucky adds three more and kind of shuts things down. Good effort, but I think, you know, I've said this before, is that I think some of our better teams in the conference have to give these teams a better shot. So I'm kind of disappointed across the board. You know, Rice is not going to compete with number seven LSU at this point. But you'd like to see a better effort from UAB, conference's best, 9-2 on the season, dominating everybody else. You can't get blown up by 21, right? Middle Tennessee did okay, but it was the same kind of Middle Tennessee, just okay, hey, you gave them a game, kind of loss. You'd like to see better from, one of the league's best quarterbacks. But, you know, Middle Tennessee's they're a little iffy this season. But if you're going to say, hey, you're still in the race for the conference title, I don't know. I'd like to have seen better there. But, you know, that's the state of the league. This is a down year for the league. All across the board, I think all the advanced stats scream this. It says Conference USA is not good this year, ladies and gentlemen. So you take what you can get. Game of the day, probably, right? I guess because it was a conference game and one that was competitive. Southern Miss sneaking, stealing perhaps, a win 21-20 over rivals Louisiana Tech. Steven Anderson scored the touchdown late, and it looked like this is going to be a game where you're going to see some back and forth late in the game. You know, kind of I score a touchdown, you kick a field goal, I drive down, try to kick a game winning field goal or something like this. As it turned out, that score at the 6:41 mark or something like that, Steven Anderson scores a touchdown. That was it. That was all the scoring. Up to that point, it was kind of low scoring, back and forth. I think at halftime, the score was 17-14. So not ridiculous, right? It's not Big 12 style. But you thought you'd see a little bit more back and forth in the third and fourth quarters. But no, nothing, right? No scoring in the third and just 10 points total in the fourth. Bailey Hale hit a field goal. Steven Anderson scores a touchdown 6:41 ago. I got to put this one. I'll say it again. Jamar Smith, I tweeted about this one. He did not play well. 27-43, 243, right? He let his receivers try to make some plays. Adrian Hardy is a baller. 11 catches, 110 yards, and a score. But he really missed some passes. Didn't give his guys a chance to make a play late in the game on like that final drive where they had an opportunity. And, you know, that was it. That was all of it. And, you know, the defense had a chance to kind of seal things and kind of give the offense another chance to win the game for them. Something that the defense has done all season, right? We saw them do it against UTEP. We saw them do it against North Texas fairly famously. I guess you can say, well, the special teams really came up. The defense almost allowed a touchdown and kind of let them get in position. But not a whole lot here, there. And I think Louisiana Tech's been playing with fire all season in this kind of way. They have the talent, you know, to win these games by a bigger margin than we've seen. And they really haven't done it, you know, put them over the top. You know, I mentioned that 31-3 win over UTSA. That one, I want to say they only had less than 300 yards or less than 400 yards in that one. That's really a game. UTSA's offense, I mean, defense, not that great. You can score more against them, but that's the deal. Only 31 points against UTEP, right? They beat FAU, but only 21 points against FAU. They get throttled by Mississippi State, only scored the three. Only beat Rice 28-13. They're playing with fire the whole season. Getting wins, yeah. They only had the one loss in conference to UAB. But even that one, that was like an indicator. Only 7 points in that one. J'Mar Smith, who was, I was on a bandwagon, right, for a long time. I thought he was good. He was talented, but he just not doing enough at this point to make them a really good team. They had the talent. The receivers are incredible. You know, Adrian Hardy's incredible. Teddy Veal's incredible. Rashid Barnett can make some incredible plays. They're good enough that they, you know, they could be competing for a conference title right now. And I think J'Mar Smith is holding them back a little bit, just not making enough plays. He's good enough. He's making the right decisions. But when it comes down to it, sometimes he just hasn't been there for him. Another epic epic game for these two teams, I mean, relatively speaking, right, in conference play. Big win for Southern Miss. 5-5 on the season. You know, get a chance to clinch bowl eligibility. They lost the game, right? They lost that one to Appalachian State because that was postponed or canceled. I don't know that they win that one, so this might be the better deal. You play at UTEP to close the season to get 6 wins. It's going to be close. There's a lot of rumors about the number of teams available. I don't know. There might be some 6-win teams in conference that don't get a bid, that don't get a bowl game, don't go bowling. I don't know what you do. UTSA last season didn't go bowling. They were upset about that. You know, I think I got a question from Nola Bowl for Life. Asked, what are the chances a 6-5 USM does if it makes a bowl game? A lot of this stuff, again, a lot of this stuff comes down to the fact that bowl games don't really care about your record. They care about your ability to travel and show up. And Southern Miss is a show-up kind of school, right? They have fans. They like to travel. They get good support. I know attendance has been down. There's been some consternation about that. That's the thing all across the board in college football. I think historically, Southern Miss fans show up. And if this is like in the New Orleans Bowl, then yeah, it'd be good. But I think, you know, the conference champion is going to go to the New Orleans Bowl. I think that's going to be UAB and like Troy or something, whoever the Sun Belt winner is. So I don't know. I don't know what the chances are. It all can change last minute. But I think you see a Southern Miss team, I think you take them. Because they just have that support again. Who are your bowl eligible teams? Your FIU, Middle Tennessee, Marshall. You know, I think FAU's playing for some bowl eligibility right now. Let me look at their schedule real quick. They have Charlotte to end the season, right? Charlotte has a tough defense. I don't know what they're going to play. And they're at home in that one. I think FAU plays well at home. And that might do it. Charlotte is not bowl eligible, and I think they're done. Other side, UAB, definitely going to get the best bowl. Tech travels very well. And also, they're really good in bowl games, right? 4 straight bowl wins. I think I joked to Skip Holtz at Media Days. I was like, all you need is a Cotton Bowl, right? And then you'll complete the Dallas-Fort Worth, you know, bowl circuit, right? You win the Frisco Bowl, win the Heart of Dallas Bowl, they won the Fort Worth Bowl, Armed Forces Bowl. Just need the Cotton Bowl. You just need to get in there. And then so Southern Miss would be the other team. So total, 1, 2, 3, maybe FAU, right? 3 from the East, 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 from the West. I think that's a decent haul. North Texas, I think, is probably going to get the Serve Pro, the old Heart of Dallas Bowl game. Louisiana Tech, I don't know where they travel. I haven't seen all of the projections. I don't really like looking at them too early. But I think right now is about the time you can start thinking about it. There's that New Mexico Bowl. Was it Marshall that went out there last time? They had a good time. I think that was like on the edge whether or not they were going to go bowling. Same thing for Middle Tennessee. I think the bowl choosers chose Middle Tennessee over UTSA, and that caused some gruff, right? Because that was a chance for UTSA to go to a bowl game, and they didn't. They were eligible but didn't make it. Did Mike Sanford save his job? And who was going to who bowls? Which bowls? That's what somebody asked. Who was this? William Reed. I don't know that Mike Sanford saved his job. Again, I think that Western Kentucky brass were saying, hey, Please don't lose embarrassingly to UTEP and show some improvement for goodness sake, please. This did that, right? That's a pretty emphatic win, 40-16. It's an entertaining win, especially jumping out early, right? There's two things, right, that I always like to point out, that I think the best blowouts for your fans are the ones that happen early, right? 27-0 early in the first quarter. That's great. What was it? Halftime score, it's 40-0. Everybody can leave happily, right? All the people that need to get their kids home, they can leave. You feel good about it. Check the score later. Like, yeah, I didn't miss too much. 40-16. We saw all the scoring. Good job. Also, wins early in the season, probably around mid-October, is like your cutoff. Because everybody gets busy with everything else. And, you know, it all kind of gets into a slog about, like, conference play. And you got holidays coming up. You got Halloween. You got Thanksgiving. You got Christmas, you're planning a vacation, this, that, and the other. Life gets in the way. People don't really remember the other things that happen. Let's use an example. And I know you guys are college football diehards because you're listening to this podcast. So let's just ask some of your friends, right? You say, hey, do you remember when Houston was good? You know, Tom Herman was there. Like, oh, yeah, they beat Oklahoma, right? Yeah, they did. Do you remember how they finished that season? And you're going to get blank stares. The best thing that happened to Houston was that they beat Oklahoma, and then everybody checked out after that. That's all that mattered. They got a big win. Was it 33-23 or something like that? They got the hype. Everybody's talking about Ed Oliver. Well, and they're still talking about Ed Oliver this week, but for different reasons. But that season, you know, they felt good. They got the hype they needed. The coach got a new job. Everybody kind of forgets where they finished. Do you remember where they finished? How many losses they had? They had four. Lost to Navy. Lost to Southern SMU. You want to call them Southern Methodist all the time. They lost to Memphis. And they lost in a bowl game to San Diego State. Nobody remembers that they kind of petered out towards the end, right? They remember the Oklahoma game. They even beat number 5 Louisville. 36-10, they dominated him. There you go. You got to get wins early in the season because that's when people care about them, right? You look at North Texas. I think, you know, a lot of people were complaining about the way that they started. I mean, the way that they've been playing, the way they started conference play. But you know, they've been out of things for a while. But what are you going to remember from UNT if you're just a casual fan, just kind of checking in? You're going to remember that punt against Arkansas and the fact that they beat Arkansas. You didn't even care that Arkansas is terrible this year. And maybe, you know, UAB would have actually won that game. You're going to remember the punt return, and that gets everybody the hype, right? When you start up next season, you're like, hey, North Texas are pretty good. They still have that quarterback they had? Yeah, they do. Still have the coach? Yeah, they do. They're going to be pretty good then. Most people just forget about everything else. They remember, again, September, a little bit of October, right? It's the national stuff. You and I, we remember all of it, but, you know, most people remember the beginning stuff. So, those are the things that are important. And Western Kentucky has been so bad for the rest of this whole season that, you know, I think it was more about style points. So, you obviously can't go back and re-impress, right? Get blown out against Wisconsin, get blown out, well, lose to Maine. That was bad, right? And then, give Louisville kind of a game, but looking back on that, you know, maybe you're patting yourself on the back and saying, wow, we really gave them a game there, didn't we? You should have won that game because Louisville's terrible, right? You beat Ball State in a close game. By the time you get to conference play, by the time you end October, you had three conference losses, including a blowout loss at Charlotte. You know, close loss against Marshall, okay. Close loss against Old Dominion, okay. You got viral for the wrong reasons there, but you've been slogging along since. You need something. Old Dominion, right? Struggling in this one. Struggling this season. 2-5 on the year in conference play. 4-7 overall. What do we remember about this season? That they beat Virginia Tech. And then the diehards are going to remember the North Texas game, but they really remember the Virginia Tech game, right? You got to impress early. So I think to answer the question, this game was more about impressing and not being embarrassing. If Western Kentucky can win, I think if they lose a close one against Tech, and again, Tech, you know, they're not really going to put up a whole lot of points, and they're going to kind of beat themselves a little bit. You get a win there, everything feels fine, and maybe you can feel okay about next season. But Mike Sanford's really, he's really a young coach. He sounds smart, and he called the FAU struggles before the season. He has a tough situation. Western Kentucky's a little bit difficult to recruit to, even though it's had a lot of success. The Hardball guys there, right? A lot of success from a lot of different people. It still is a little difficult to recruit to Western Kentucky, to Bowling Green. Every other teams are good now, right? Florida Atlantic is good. They're easy to recruit to. It's Miami. There's a lot of talent around there, and they're getting a lot of that talent. That's a difficult situation for him, but I mean, I don't know. I'm not completely sold on it. He's had two seasons. He's an offensive guru. You'd feel like you'd see some of that, you know, show itself already. And again, you can compare to North Texas. Seth Luttrell comes in. He's an offensive coordinator background. He hires one of the best college football quarterbacks of all time, right? Grant Harrell, to be his coordinator. First year struggles, but you could see some improvement there, right? They were doing the same thing. We're going with the freshman quarterback. He's making mistakes. But by all measures, that 2016 offense for Seth Luttrell was pretty bad. So 2017, you're saying, okay, we need to see some improvement. Well, they set program records, right? Averaged like 400 yards a game, scored 30 a game. So you're like, okay. Now, if you ask North Texas fans, there's still some room for improvement, right? Blowing some of these leads, can't get some short yardage plays. But still, right, a lot of improvement. They're better this year than they were last year. You see the trend. Okay, so if you're good, you know what you're doing, right? Is what you're telling me. You should see the improvement, you know, in the areas where you expect to be good, right? Doc Holliday is always a defensive guy, right? I think he played linebacker somewhere. They've always had a good defense. He hires decent offensive coordinators. When they're down, you can always see why they're down. Like, oh, okay, their offense has struggled this season, but they have a freshman quarterback running it, right? Isaiah Green. He's going to grow. He's going to get better. Even FAU. They jump in and Lane Kiffin turns them around. They're the best offense in the league. This season, they're a little bit more down to earth, but you look at their offensive numbers, they're still good. They still can score. The reason they lose games is because they have a young quarterback out there making mistakes, right? So, okay, well, Mike Sanford, why are you losing? We couldn't protect the quarterback, and we're just kind of getting our own way. And like, well, you had a quarterback that was setting records, and you're getting him murdered back there, and now... You know, now when you don't have that, you just look really bad. Like, still can't run the ball. Quarterback in play looks inconsistent week to week, even though Duncan looks like he's trying real hard. What are you guys doing? I don't know. I don't see the easy line there, and he's had two seasons, right? I don't know. I don't know if you give him a third season, but I don't know who you hire in his place, right? I think I've seen a bunch of rumors about Brad Lambert. I think everybody thinks that job is an okay one, or at least an interesting one. I think we'll wait and see before we talk a little bit more about that situation. I think they've done a good job of bouncing back and giving Brad Lambert like a good kind of go away season. I don't know that they've improved to the point where you're like, okay, this is our guy. We got to keep him. Look at this. It's so great. I think it's just more like they were just more competent. I mean, Ben LeMay is good and the defense is good. But there's, it's still not there. I don't know. I don't know if he's a long-term guy. Here's an interesting point, right? A lot of hires going around, right? Colorado fired Mike McIntyre. This is the time to fire coaches, right? Kansas fired their guy. Surprisingly hired Les Miles. But you look around and jobs are going to be open. And you look at the league's hottest guys, Bill Clark. Is he going somewhere else? I think this is the time to go if you're going to go, if you're Bill Clark. You've led this team and this program for, you know, through the worst times. You've been with these guys for a long time and you saw it to the end. I think you're on the way to win a conference championship. I don't know that you want to go through a rebuilding or even a reloading. But I mean, there's gonna be talent there, but I don't think it's gonna be the same kind of talent. Losing a lot of senior guys that have been around the program for a long time, so you might take a little bit of dip. I don't know that you want to do that when you can, you know, hop to a new job, better pay, kind of a reward for all your hard work and your abilities to coach. But I also could see him staying and really just, you know, being like a Bill Snyder here at UAB. I think if the right situation came along and they want to pay him lots of money, he'd be insane not to take that. You got to think about your family, that kind of deal. Where does UTSA go? I don't know that they have any good options. I don't know if anybody out there is an easy hire for them. Maybe just up down the street, and you look at Eric Morris at UIW. He has Incarnate Word, who went 1-11 last season. He has them winning a Southland Conference title game, setting program records offensively, and they are in the FCS playoffs. So that certainly seems intriguing. Does he even want to leave? Right, he just got there. He just got settled. Establishing a program in his image. What can he do? How long does he stay there? I don't know. But I'm sure if he got tempted by the right, you know, money and situation someplace, maybe he makes a move. Maybe he moves up the street to San Marcos and goes to Texas State. I think that hire, because Everett Withers wants to, the administration is probably going to fire Everett Withers because he's been terrible in three seasons at Texas State. That hire impacts UTSA a lot. Actually, also, you know, Rice a little bit, UTEP a lot, North Texas a little bit, because it's a Texas school. It's in the South Texas region, but UTSA is going to be impacted a lot because, you know, it's right in the recruiting backyard. I think you say, hey, look, our stadium is ours. It's on campus, and it's more of a college feel here in San Marcos. If you're UTSA, you're like, yeah, well, you get to be the football program of a, you know, top 10 city in population, not media. There's, you get a lot of those guys to stay home. You know, you're playing at, you know, San Antonio Reagan or San Antonio Judson. Why don't you just stay here and, you know, play on the big stage, stay home, right? That's how they got Frank Harris, the quarterback at Clemens, to stay in San Antonio. But I also think you can make the point, like, hey, get out of town, come up north. You're not too far away. You know, you be your own man out here in San Marcos. Long story short, San Marcos is intriguing, and I think they have a situation set up where they can improve. They've redone their stadium and things out there. So I think if you're a UTSA, you look at that situation and say, okay, is Frank Wilson going to turn this around? Or are we going to have to hire now so that way we can get the best guys? So we don't got to compete with like a Texas State down the road. Now, I know if you're like a UTSA fan, you're like, what are you even talking about? We're not. But this is true, right? I mean, you look at what happened already, right? Rice and Mike Bloomgren, they're not really the same kind of in the same competition for the same kind of players. But UTEP is. UTEP is going to be coming through and asking for guys around this area. Maybe even Incarnate Word, if they're going to be real good FCS school, maybe they get some of those guys that would be roster fillers, right? Depth guys. Maybe they take those dudes, right? And, you know, with the promise, like, hey, you can be down here and start and win championships. And, you know, there is a path to, you know, the NFL from FCS. A lot of guys have done that kind of thing. Versus, you know, riding the bench there at UTSA and losing, right? Because that's going to be the thing. Eric Morse is already saying stuff like that, like, hey, San Antonio deserves a good college football team. He's playing the game right, and I think that's going to put a little heat, I mean, it has to, on Frank Wilson and at least the administration, Lisa Campos out there, making those decisions. Where UTSA once had the attention of the city, it doesn't anymore. The attendances, I think I saw somebody tweet, 7 of the 10 lowest attendances have come in the last 3 years for UTSA. I also don't expect a big attendance this weekend after Thanksgiving, which is never really well attended anyway, for North Texas and UTSA. So I mean, questions will be answered. So, you know, Bobby Wilder probably saved his gig. Mike Sanford looks on the way to saving his gig, or at least putting it on the administration to make a decision. They gave him an ultimatum. You know, you lose two, you're out, right? You win two, you're in. They got an emphatic win against UTEP. Now, what you do against Louisiana Tech is different. I think you feel good about the way you won. I think 7-point favorites come into this game. A lot of that had to do with travel, I think. But you dominate this one by, 24 points? Quality. So, again, UAB, maybe some of their staff is poached. Maybe Bill Clark is poached. I think he's definitely getting asked about a couple of jobs, right? Like, hey, maybe you want to take this one. Maybe you want to take that one. There's also the whole coaching carousel thing, right? Neil Brown at Troy is probably going to get asked. He's probably going to look to get poached from that job. Do any of these coordinators take that job? I don't know. I mean, you know, do any of Bill Clark's coordinators take that job? I don't know. North Texas had another good season, right? 8-3 at the moment, looking to go 9-3 for the first time in FBS, looking to go 10 wins. Say you get a big bowl win, do people start looking at Graham Harrell and say, hey, why don't you come out here and coordinate our offense for more money? Or, hey, why don't you come out here, be our head coach, something like this. I don't know that Troy Reffa, the defensive coordinator, is going to get poached from anywhere, but we also saw some movement, right, last season. FAU's dominant team had the coordinators poached, right, both of them. So we might see some more of that. We saw some inter-conference movement, right? Pecorino left USM, went to FAU. We might see some more of that. Marshall's defensive coordinator got poached. UTSA's defensive coordinator got poached, went to Alabama. We're going to see some more movement. I don't know that UTSA is going to fire their offensive coordinator again, right? Now it's Al Borges. Now this offense is terrible. They're really looking at youth and saying, no, it's youth, it's youth, it's youth. I don't know that that's the case. Looking at the rest of it, maybe Louisiana Tech shakes things up a little bit. I don't know. I don't know what happens there. But I think your candidates for movement, UAB, Bill Clark, he's going to get asked. I don't know if he leaves, but that's going to be interesting. North Texas, Seth Luttrell, he's been on that coaching rumor seat for a long time. What does North Texas do if they get their head coach poached? Do they look at Eric Morris and say, you're the guy? That's a bit young. He's only had the one season. I don't know if he's going to do it, but he's along the same. He's in the same mold, you know. He's a Texas Tech guy. He's an offensive guy. He's proved it, sort of, right? He's had a winning season, won a conference title in his first year down there in FCS school. You know, I don't know. I don't know. Do they just promote from within? Say, hey, Graham Harrell, now you have the job, right? Do they look around and give it to a young coordinator? Do they look for an established guy? I don't know. I honestly don't know. The hiring group is different this time than it was for even Seth Luttrell, where it was the president of the university that kind of pulled the trigger, and the choices were the TCU guy that got fired from Kansas. Now he went to Kansas, was a coordinator there, and he ended up getting fired. It was either him or Seth Luttrell. You know what's funny is that North Carolina, since Seth Luttrell has left, has been bad, and you know, he might get fired. Larry Fedora out there. So lots of movement in college football, and I think now is the time to pay attention to all those coaching rumors, because they can affect this entire league right now. Coordinators, coaches moving, one domino could fall, have an effect elsewhere. But I think you're always going to see the kinds of coaches like coordinators come in here because they want to have a chance at their first gig here. The money's just not there yet. UTSA and North Texas pay the highest salaries in the league. And I think FAU also is up there. And I think which one does not belong? Obviously UTSA. But I think their budget is so that Frank Wilson is kind of not fireable right now. So that's mostly it. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the show. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please email the show, podcast@conferenceusareport.com. That's CUSAReport.com. Looking forward to next week, which should be kind of a rivalry week. And I guess you can say Tech and Western Kentucky was sort of like a rivalry, not really so now. UNT-UTSA burgeoning rivalry. Western Kentucky, Louisiana Tech, again, used to was. Marshall-FIU, not really, but that game's on Facebook, and that game's going to decide whether or not FIU will be representing the East in the conference title game. This almost would have been a playing game if Marshall wouldn't have, dropped that game to USM. Speaking of USM, they play UTEP in a game where we figure out if Southern Miss is going bowling, or at least is eligible for bowling. UAB in Middle Tennessee, depending on events over there in Miami. If Middle Tennessee beats UAB at home in Murfreesboro, and right now they're 1.5 dogs, FIU are 1.5 favorites. If Middle Tennessee were to win, then Middle Tennessee would host the title game the following week against UAB. So they play to play again. Interesting times. Then finally, Charlotte and FAU. FAU is looking to get bowl eligible. Yes, it's possible that FAU, coming off a season in which they ran off 10 straight wins to win a conference title game and a bowl game and just dominate the headlines and everything, could be sitting at home during bowl season. Incredible. Charlotte and FAU play at 5 p.m. Ladies and gentlemen, we are officially done. Thanks for listening. See you next week.